Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut, an artist, an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
When he accepted a position as a guide at the old frontier fort, he expected to spend his days talking about history. He had always enjoyed visiting historic places, and the opportunity to work at one felt less like a job than a chance to spend every day surrounded by stories that had actually happened. The fort had stood for generations. Some of the buildings were original, others had been carefully reconstructed, but together they painted a remarkably complete picture of life on the American frontier. Visitors wandered through officers' quarters, barracks, workshops, and the old hospital, often remarking that the place felt less like a museum and more like a town that had simply stopped growing. That was exactly what he liked about it. He had never been particularly interested in famous battles or legendary figures. What fascinated him were the ordinary people who had lived there every day, carrying out routines that history books rarely bothered to mention. The job suited him almost immediately. He enjoyed answering questions, leading tours, and watching visitors realize there was far more to frontier life than cavalry charges and Hollywood versions of the Old West. Children wanted to know where the soldiers slept. Adults were often surprised to learn how much of military life involved waiting, repairing equipment, tending horses, or simply trying to get through another long winter. Those conversations reminded him why he had taken the job in the first place. And before long, he found himself looking forward to work every morning. Most of his first week was spent following one of the veteran guides around the property. There was plenty to learn that wasn't written in any employee handbook, from where visitors most often wandered into restricted areas to which buildings tended to create bottlenecks during busy weekends. The older guide also pointed out the little shortcuts that made opening and closing the grounds much easier, explaining that those practical details eventually became second nature after enough time on the job. Late one afternoon, as they made their way back toward the visitor center, the older guide mentioned one final piece of advice. Every now and then, he explained, a visitor would stop by on the way out to compliment one of the reenactors who had helped them during their visit. If that happened, the easiest thing to do was simply thank them for visiting and let the conversation end there. The comment immediately caught his attention because there weren't any reenactors working that week. Living history weekends were only held a handful of times each year, and outside of those events, every employee dressed like staff members at any other museum. When he pointed that out, the older guide simply nodded and said he knew. Visitors occasionally believed they had spoken with someone in uniform anyway, and over the years, the staff had learned it was easier to let those conversations end naturally than to insist the visitors must be mistaken. The explanation struck him as almost comical. Every workplace seemed to have one veteran employee who enjoyed testing the new hire, and he became convinced that this was simply the fort's version of an initiation. He waited for the older guide to smile or admit he was teasing him, but nothing like that ever happened. Instead, the conversation drifted effortlessly back to tour schedules and school groups, as though nothing unusual had been said in the first place. By the time he drove home that evening, he had already decided it was nothing more than a harmless story told to every new employee to see whether they would fall for it. The subject disappeared from his mind almost immediately as the busy season settled in. School buses began arriving before the gates opened each morning. Families filled the grounds throughout the afternoon, and history enthusiasts often lingered long after the scheduled tours had ended. Some visitors hurried from building to building, checking landmarks off their maps, while others spent an hour asking thoughtful questions about the ordinary routines of soldiers stationed there more than a century ago. Those were always his favorite conversations because they reminded him that history wasn't only about battles. It was about people. Nearly 2 months passed before he thought about that conversation again. An older couple stopped by the visitor center as they were leaving for the day, not because they had a complaint or another question, but because they wanted someone to pass along their appreciation to one of the reenactors. They explained that a soldier had spent several minutes answering questions near the officers' quarters before suggesting a few buildings they might otherwise have overlooked. According to them, he had been one of the highlights of their afternoon. He smiled, thanked them for visiting, and wished them a safe drive home. It wasn't until they had disappeared into the parking lot that he remembered the conversation from his first week. Amused more than anything else, he found himself glancing across the parade ground out of curiosity. The grounds were nearly empty, and there wasn't anyone in uniform anywhere that he could see. Later that afternoon, while helping close one of the exhibit buildings, he casually mentioned the conversation to another employee. He expected at least a smile or some acknowledgement that the older guide's story had fooled another new hire. Instead, she asked only where the visitors said they had met the soldier. After hearing his answer, she quietly nodded, finished locking the door, and started walking toward the visitor center without another word. That reaction stayed with him the entire drive home. It wasn't that he suddenly believed there was anything paranormal happening at the fort. If anything, he became more convinced there had to be a perfectly ordinary explanation. What he couldn't understand was why nobody seemed interested in offering one. He expected the mystery to solve itself. In his mind, it already had. There had to be a perfectly ordinary explanation that everyone else understood, and he simply hadn't figured out yet. Maybe volunteers from another historical organization occasionally stopped by the fort. Maybe visitors confused memories from previous trips without realizing it. It was even possible people simply expected to see soldiers in a place like that and convinced themselves they had. Whatever the answer was, he was certain it had nothing to do with anything paranormal. Life at the fort continued much as it always had. School groups came and went, families wandered through the buildings, and every afternoon ended with the familiar routine of checking exhibits, locking doors, and making sure the grounds were empty before everyone headed home. Days turned into weeks, and although he occasionally remembered the older couple who had thanked the reenactor, the conversation gradually became just another odd moment from his first season at the fort. Then, late one afternoon, another family stopped by the visitor center before leaving. Their young daughter wanted to thank the soldier who had shown her where the old blacksmith shop was located after she'd gotten separated from the rest of her family for a few minutes. Her parents smiled as they explained that he had been incredibly patient, answered several of her questions about the fort, and pointed her back toward the parade ground where they had been waiting. They thanked the staff for having people who took the time to make children feel welcome. He smiled, thanked them for visiting, and wished them a safe drive home. This time, instead of letting the conversation slip away, he mentioned it to a few co-workers while everyone was finishing up for the day. He expected someone to grin and finally admit that the older guide had managed to fool another new employee with a story that had probably been circulating around the fort for years. Instead, the room barely reacted. One employee simply asked where the visitors said they had met the soldier. Another nodded quietly after hearing the answer before returning to the paperwork spread across her desk. Within moments, everyone had moved on to talking about the next day's schedule. That reaction stayed with him far longer than the visitor's story itself. If the whole thing was meant to be a joke, nobody seemed interested in delivering the punchline. They weren't encouraging the stories, but they weren't dismissing them either. More than anything else, they behaved as though those conversations were simply another routine part of working at the fort. The reports continued over the following months, never frequently enough to seem unusual to visitors, but often enough that he began noticing a pattern. Every few weeks, someone would stop by before leaving to compliment one of the soldiers. Sometimes it was an older couple, sometimes a family with children. Occasionally it was someone with a lifelong interest in military history who wanted to praise the accuracy of the interpreter's knowledge. Every conversation sounded sincere, and every person believed they had simply met someone doing his job. The details changed from one report to the next, which only made the stories more difficult to dismiss. One visitor remembered an older soldier with a beard beginning to gray. Another described a young private who couldn't have been much older than 20. A retired Army officer complimented a cavalryman who had answered several technical questions about frontier life, while an elementary school teacher mentioned a soldier who had patiently explained to her students why the barracks were arranged the way they were. They weren't all describing the same man. What struck him most was how completely ordinary the encounters sounded. Nobody claimed to have watched someone disappear. Nobody described transparent figures or strange lights. The visitors weren't telling ghost stories. They were simply describing conversations they believed had happened only a few minutes earlier. His curiosity finally got the better of him one slow afternoon. The visitor center kept decades worth of old guest books and comment cards in a storage room, and with little else to do, he began flipping through them, mostly hoping to learn more about how the fort had changed over the years. Most of the comments were exactly what he expected. Visitors praised knowledgeable guides, thanked volunteers, or commented on how beautifully the buildings had been preserved. Then he noticed something familiar. Several comments thanked soldiers. One family wrote about the young soldier who had helped their children understand what life at the fort had been like. Another thanked the soldier near the officers' quarters for recommending buildings they otherwise would have missed. An elderly visitor complimented the interpreter who had spent nearly 20 minutes answering questions about daily military routines. He stopped and checked the dates. Convinced he had overlooked something, the dates were still the same. Closing the file, he leaned back in his chair and stared across the quiet visitor center. There still had to be an explanation, and he found himself mentally listing possibilities the same way he always had. Memories weren't perfect. Visitors could easily confuse one trip with another. People often noticed what they expected to find in places rich with history. Even so, he couldn't ignore one simple fact. The reports had been coming from different people on different days over what appeared to be many years. And somehow, they all seemed to leave the fort believing they had been helped by soldiers who weren't supposed to be there. By late autumn, the crowds had thinned enough that long stretches of quiet settled over the fort between tours. Some afternoons, only a handful of visitors wandered the grounds before heading home, leaving the old buildings standing in near silence beneath a wide Kansas sky. Those became his favorite days. Without the constant movement of tour groups, it was easier to appreciate the place itself. The wind rattled old windows, doors creaked softly as temperatures changed, and the empty parade ground invited the imagination to wander back through another century. The reports never completely stopped. Every few weeks, another visitor would stop by before leaving to thank one of the soldiers. Sometimes it was a family whose children had asked endless questions. Other times, it was a retired veteran impressed by someone's knowledge of frontier life. One couple remembered a soldier recommending the hospital because most visitors overlooked it. Another described a cavalryman who patiently explained why the buildings had been arranged the way they were. Every account sounded perfectly sincere, and every person seemed mildly surprised that the staff didn't immediately know which soldier they were talking about. After a while, he stopped mentioning the reports to his coworkers. It wasn't because he believed them. It was because he had come to realize everyone else had made peace with the mystery years earlier. They weren't interested in debating it or solving it. Visitors occasionally described soldiers who weren't scheduled to be there. The staff thanked them for coming, and another day at the fort came to an end. Whatever explanation existed had never interfered with the operation of the site, so eventually everyone had learned to let the stories pass without much discussion. He couldn't quite do that. His curiosity wouldn't allow it. Whenever another report came in, he found himself quietly trying to eliminate one explanation after another. He checked volunteer schedules to make sure there hadn't been an unscheduled demonstration. He looked through the calendar to see whether a school program had brought in costumed interpreters. More than once he walked the grounds after hearing a visitor describe a soldier, convinced he would eventually find someone wearing historical clothing who had simply wandered away before anyone else noticed. He never found anyone. Even the old comment cards continued to bother him. Every now and then, on slow afternoons, he found himself pulling another box from storage and leafing through comments written years before he had ever worked there. Mixed among the compliments about the exhibits and the knowledgeable staff were occasional notes thanking soldiers who had answered questions, offered directions, or recommended another stop before visitors left the grounds. The dates never seemed to line up with the fort's living history weekends, and the descriptions never settled on a single individual. If people were somehow influencing one another, they had been doing it for a very long time. Winter arrived quietly. The trees around the fort lost the last of their leaves, the air turned sharp, and the number of visitors dropped considerably. Most afternoons, the grounds became almost completely empty by 3 o'clock, leaving only the staff to finish closing procedures before heading home. One cold afternoon, after the last visitors had left, he began his usual walk across the parade ground to check one of the original barracks before locking it for the evening. The low winter sun cast long shadows across the open ground, and aside from the sound of his own footsteps, the fort was almost completely silent. Halfway across the parade ground, movement caught his attention. Near the barracks, a soldier was walking at an unhurried pace toward the corner of the building. Nothing about the sight struck him as unusual. The uniform looked authentic. The man carried himself with the easy confidence of someone completely familiar with the fort, and for a brief moment, the simplest explanation seemed obvious. Someone connected with one of the living history programs must have stopped by without letting the staff know. It was mildly inconvenient, but certainly not impossible. He continued walking, intending to let the man know the buildings would be locked in a few minutes. The soldier never looked in his direction. Without changing his pace, he rounded the corner of the barracks and disappeared from sight. Only a few seconds separated them. By the time he reached the corner himself, he fully expected to see the man continuing toward the next building. Instead, the narrow lane behind the barracks was completely empty. He stopped walking. The area behind the building offered nowhere to disappear. A fence bordered one side of the property, the open yard stretched away on the other, and the nearest doorway was still closed exactly as he had left it earlier that afternoon. He stood there for several moments before checking inside the barracks, then walked the perimeter of the neighboring buildings just to satisfy himself that he hadn't overlooked something obvious. There wasn't another person anywhere on the grounds. He remained there longer than he cared to admit, mentally replaying what had happened. He hadn't watched anyone dissolve into thin air. He hadn't seen a transparent figure or anything that resembled the ghost stories people like to tell. He had simply watched a soldier walk around the corner of a building. A few seconds later, the soldier wasn't there. Driving home that evening, he found himself thinking about every visitor who had ever stopped to compliment one of the reenactors. Until that afternoon, he had quietly assumed they were mistaken in one way or another. Memory could be unreliable. People filled in details without realizing it. Expectations often shaped what they believed they had seen. Then he remembered his own first thought. He hadn't seen a ghost. He hadn't questioned what he was looking at. He had immediately assumed he was seeing a reenactor. Exactly the same assumption every visitor had made. That realization stayed with him far longer than the sighting itself. Years later, after he had moved on from the fort, people occasionally asked whether he had ever experienced anything unusual while working there. He rarely shared the story because he still wasn't sure what he believed. He only knew what he had seen, and even after all those years, he couldn't explain it. What he remembered most wasn't the soldier. It was the visitors. Ordinary people who had come to learn about history, thanked someone they believed worked there, and walked back to their cars without ever realizing they might have spent a few minutes talking to someone whose shift had ended more than 100 years before.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Do you remember in school when your teacher had a favorite of everything? A favorite marker, a favorite element, and even a favorite student? Who wasn't me, so let's just move on. I want to talk about their real favorite thing, Kleenex tissues. According to teacher lists, Kleenex is the number one facial tissue trusted by teachers. They're silky soft to help prevent skin irritation. And now, with Kleenex Snap & Go, you can take them anywhere. Stock up on the ultimate classroom favorite. for whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.